at 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The proposed Dallas to Houston bullet train built up a little more momentum today. Last week brought the first peak at the proposed Dallas station. It would be built in the Cedars neighborhood just south of downtown on 60 acres across the highway from the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center. The bullet train would move passengers 200 miles an hour and would get them from Dallas to Houston in about 90 minutes. Today, developers announced where they would want to build the station at the other end of the line. Houston Public Media's Ed Mayberry reports.
So the preferred location is... it's the Northwest Mall.
Carlos Aguilar is the CEO of Texas Central Partners, the private company developing the 240-mile high-speed train line that could move passengers between Dallas and Houston in 90 minutes.
The Federal Railroad Administration identified this location as one of the preferred sites because of its high economic development potential, as well as the ability to integrate it with local transportation options.
The proposed Northwest Mall location is just west of the Highway 290 and I-610 interchange. Almost all the stores in the mall are closed, but development has spread rapidly in this region northwest of the urban core. Mayor Sylvester Turner says if the terminal was built there, further development would follow.
And I want you to envision the transit-oriented development that would take place around that station, the hotels, the condominiums, the restaurants.
The Federal Railroad Administration is holding public hearings, and a final federal impact statement could be issued by the end of the year. In Houston, I'm Ed Mayberry.
Nate Staniforth started learning magic as a young child in Iowa. He eventually crisscrossed the country as a touring magician, performing five nights a week. Somewhere along the way, though, the magic started to feel less real, and with each show, he felt more lost. Today on Think, he talked with guest host Courtney Collins about his global quest to rediscover his sense of wonder.
Traveling as a magician is a really fascinating way to interact with another culture, because as soon as something impossible happens, you're no longer just a tourist. It's like you get pulled for a moment, you know, into the day-to-day experience of the people who live in that culture. And I ended up doing quite a bit of magic in India, because I'd, you know, just start the day doing a piece of magic for someone, say by the market or by a river or something. And that person would immediately want me to, you know, my brother owns a tea stand, come with me and perform it for him. And then I'm doing magic for the brother and then for the patrons at the tea stand. And then someone invites me over for dinner. And very quickly you fall off of the tourist route and into the lives of the people you meet with magic. And so I realized for the first time that it doesn't matter if you're young or old or rich or poor. You could be a sheep herder in Tibet or a taxi driver in Texas. Everyone everywhere responds to good magic in the same way. It's like this sort of universal language, and I'd never considered that before.
Nate Staniforth wrote a book about his journey. It's called Here Is Real Magic, A Magician's Search for Wonder in the Modern World. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Balancing family and work is always delicate. Few parents face as delicate a balance as Elise Hugh. This graduate of Plano Senior High is a familiar voice to public radio listeners. She's an NPR correspondent based in South Korea, and she's prepping for coverage of the Winter Olympics, which start Friday. Reporter Byron Harris caught up with her in Seoul, just an artillery shell away from North Korea.
Elise Hugh sits in a restaurant in Seoul, sharing a bowl of bulgogi, Korean grilled meat, with her oldest daughter, Ava, aged 5.
Oh, she's doing her whole shark thing.
What?
She's being a shark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's an imaginative little girl.
I'm a little fishy.
It's a calm Sunday afternoon.
It's a shark!
In this job, though, there are no days off, because North and South Korea are at the heart of an ever-evolving nuclear face-off, as Morning Edition's David Green and Steve Inskeep pointed out late last year.
Okay, so, you know, at a moment like this, you naturally think, well, what about me? Could this missile strike me? You're there in Seoul. David is in Southern California. I'm in Washington, D.C. What could this missile strike?
Both of you. So in theory, this missile, if flown at a flattened trajectory, could hit as far as Washington, D.C. But if it were loaded with a warhead, it would likely be heavier. So we don't know in actuality how far this missile, if loaded with a warhead, could go. But still, this is a significant advance.
Hugh, who's 35, has 3 daughters, Ava, Issa, age 2, and 10-month-old Luna. Her husband, Matt Stiles, once worked at the Dallas Morning News. Now he's a reporter for the Los Angeles Times.
He is the primary caregiver. He's the lead parent.
Mm-hmm.
He does the grocery shopping every weekend, usually with one, if not both, of the daughters. I would say he's actually far more involved in packing snacks and picking up from ballet, having diapers in his bag, and those sorts of things than I am.
They live in a 35-story high-rise in Seoul, a city of 25 million, less than 45 miles from North Korea and its armaments. When she's not out doing stories, Hugh works out of their home, in two time zones, it turns out, Korea's and NPR's.
So I'm often on Morning Edition at 5 a.m. Eastern, which is 7 p.m. Seoul, which is my kids' put-down time. I usually have my kids running around after bath time being, you know, kids and, like, very excited as they're winding down for bed. And I'm going live for Morning Edition and Up First, which is our morning podcast, at the same time. So it's always 7 p.m., 5 a.m.
On most days, dawn to dusk, the dance of childcare and journalism works out pretty well. The older girls go to school or preschool. Matt stays home with baby Luna and their nanny. Then there are times like last summer, when North Korea's Kim Jong-un threatened to bracket the island of Guam with long-range missiles.
I knew that that was going to be a big story, and so I was looking for flights that night to get to Guam.
Baby Luna was just 5 months old.
And I didn't want to quit nursing the baby and have her switch to formula. I was like, okay, I have to take the baby. And if I was taking the baby and was working, I needed somebody to help watch the baby, so my husband needed to come.
A breaking news story became a family troop movement.
All five of us just got on the plane and got to Guam by that afternoon, and I started reporting. I filed for Morning Edition within an hour of landing, and it was off to the races for 3 or 4 days. So the girls were able to go out and play with their dad overseeing them and keeping an eye on them, and then I would feed the baby between filing.
Her husband found time to write a story for his newspaper.
We got it done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hugh reports on everything from breaking news to stories she develops herself to a funny video series called Elise Tries. Still, the big issue always looms.
And so here you sit 45 miles or less from the DMZ, seconds from artillery fire. Do you worry about the kids?
I don't think about it too much, no. I mean, I don't know if it's because I've been around so many South Koreans who have really normalized the notion of being so close to North Korea, but I don't think North Korea is suicidal. That is, I don't think North Korea would stage some sort of preemptive strike.
At the moment, things are relatively calm. The two Koreas are cooperating on the Winter Olympics. Hugh is enthralled to be in the midst of it all, thanks to an understanding husband and a thoughtful employer.
It's meaningful to me to have a family. It's also incredibly meaningful to me to be a journalist and do my work. And so I don't see a dichotomy there. I wouldn't trade one for the other.
Here he goes. Here's a blanket.
At home, her daughters set up a pretend airport terminal in the living room. While in her office, she threads the needle between missiles and motherhood. For KERA News, I'm Byron Harris.
Reporter Byron Harris also wrote about Elise and motherhood for the Dallas Morning News. That story is in today's paper at dallasnews.com. And coming up tomorrow at 8:22 on Morning Edition, for the first time ever in Dallas, volunteers are focusing on counting young homeless people between ages 16 and 24. KERA's Bill Zeeble joins the search for teens on the streets. That's tomorrow at 8:22 on Morning Edition here on KERA 90.1. And this evening, mostly cloudy skies. There's a chance of rain tonight. A low around 42 tomorrow. Also cloudy. 60% chance of rain with a high around 52. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.